you take the roll, please?
Councilmember Eugene Connors?
Here.
Councilmember Joan Hansen?
Here.
Councilmember Shirley Doughty?
Present.
Mayor Ronald Ertley?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Anna Klein?
Here.
Councilmember Douglas Dunn?
Here.
Councilmember Serena Sullivan?
Here.
City staff, Justin Johnson, city manager, Ashley Coronado, city clerk, Albert Chavez, police chief, Tom Klimek, public works director, Britt Hansen, city attorney.
Thank you very much for the invocation. Let us turn our thoughts to the victims of war and conflict around the globe and have a moment of silence. Thank you. Let us stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, one God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I don't have any announcements, except we are going to present someone with a plaque, and I'm going to read it. City of Bisbee Retirement Award presented to Ilona Smirkanovich in recognition for 11 years of outstanding service to the City of Bisbee. If she'd like to come forward, and I will present that to her. Maybe you'll come back and join us again someday. Next, without objection from the council and as per Public Works Department, they requested that item number 5 be pulled from the agenda, so we will do that. Next, we will go to call to the public, and I believe we have a few people signed up. We'll start with Marilyn Siebold.
Thank you. I'm Marilyn Siebold, and I live at 2145 South Arizona Street. Good evening. I'm here to say a few words about one of my best friends, Ilona Smirkanovich. I met Ilona not long after moving to Bisbee when I joined the Bisbee Women's Club. Ilona and Bobby Hossman were best friends, and Bobby ran the home tour, always with the help of Ilona. Somewhere along the way, Ilona and I also became very good friends, and when Bobby regretfully resigned from the Women's Club and can no longer chair the annual home tour, I consulted with Ilona and said that if she would help me, I would chair this annual event and main fundraiser for the club. Ilona, of course, was an invaluable resource because she probably knows just about everyone on the Tucson television shows, as well as key people involved with the newspapers throughout the state of Arizona. We even appeared briefly on a public television broadcast together. Ilona's knowledge and willingness to help made this transition to be chair of the committee so much easier, as did the fact that Bobby was still alive then, so I could constantly pick her brain as well. I chaired two very successful home tours and could not have done so without Ilona's assistance. To me, Ilona has been an outstanding bridge between television and a myriad of publications in the city of Bisbee. Every time I see an article about Bisbee, I surmise Ilona had something to do with it. In her years of service to Bisbee, she has served this community well, and we all owe her a debt of gratitude. Ilona and I discussed quite often her eventual retirement, so I wasn't surprised when she picked her birthday as her last day. When I talked to her yesterday, she told me how busy she has been, and I told her that if she thought she was busy before, she will find retirement might find her even busier. Milt and I are excited that Ilona might now have some free time to travel with us around the state and share her vast knowledge of not only Cochise County, but other parts of the state as well. We are very much looking forward to spending quality time with her, but we'll most likely have to share her with her golf clubs. Alona has been a wonderful asset to the city of Bisbee, and I'm so proud to have the honor of calling this amazing woman my friend.
Thank you. Next we have Christina Plasencia.
Christina Plasencia, 55 Main Gallery, 55 Main Street, and Destination Bisbee. I just want to say a few words of appreciation for the years of devotion and dedication to a subject close to my heart, and that is promoting Bisbee as a destination for all of us to benefit from the influx of tourism dollars into our economy, and just letting people in general across the state know what a wonderful community we have to live in and grow a business in. On behalf of the Destination Bisbee business community, I'd like to thank you for all your years of help in accomplishing this goal. Thank you so much, Alona.
Thank you. That concludes a call to the public. Item number one, accounts payable. Do we have a motion?
I move that we pay accounts payable in the amount of $252,785.78.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve accounts payable in the amount of $252,785.78. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. Motion passes unanimously. Item number two, the approval of the consent agenda, items A through E. I will read them. A, approval of the minutes of the regular session of Mayor and Council held on June the 16th, 2015 at 7 p.m. B, approval of the appointment of Jill Darnielle to the Bisbee Arts Commission. C, approval of the appointment of Todd Bogate to the Community Sustainability Commission. D, approval of the appointment of Michael McPartland to the Planning and Zoning Commission. And E, approval of the special event liquor license application submitted by the Old World Church for an event to be held at Club Kilimanjaro, 33 Subway Street, Bisbee, Arizona, on Friday, August the 7th, 2015, and Saturday, August the 8th, 2015, from 8 p.m. till 9:30 p.m., Carrie Mittengersh, applicant. Do we have a motion?
I move that we approve the consent agenda items A through E.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve the consent agenda items A through E. Ms. Coronado, would you take the roll, please?
Councilmember Connors?
Aye.
Councilmember Hansen?
Aye.
Councilmember Dowdy?
Aye.
Mayor Pro Tem Pine?
Aye.
Councilmember Dunn?
Aye.
Councilmember Sullivan?
Aye.
Mayor Early?
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Item number three, discussion of possible approval for entering into a contract to provide transit service for the Bisbee Bus Transit Program. We do have a lot of people signed up, but first we will go to the city manager, Mr. Justin Johnson.
Thank you, Mayor, members of the council. As you all recall from our last council meeting, this item was on the agenda, and we're bringing it back before you. Mr. Chris Hager from Total Transit had a couple of questions, and we wanted to take some time and review the questions and get some responses for you all so that we can bring them back before you. And if you wanted me to go ahead and go into that now, I can, or if you want it, call to the public and have them speak.
Let's hear it from the public and see what they have to say. We'll start off with Troy Lopes.
So I'm Troy Lopes with San Pedro Transit. There was quite a few things that was misstated last meeting, and I tried to send a letter, and I got an email back saying that was incorrect, that I was simply trying to clarify some of those misstatements. I've been working for Catholic Community Services since 2013. Catholic Community Service is the one that is currently running the bus. At that time, they were averaging about 2,600 passengers a month. Currently, we're averaging 4,400 passengers a month. So over the past 3 years, we've had a 70% increase in ridership. It's almost 1,800 more rides a month than when I started. There's a few things that I did as the manager, and that was change the bus schedule. And there was a few different reasons why I wanted to get the bus schedule changed. First of all, the bus was never running on time. I know the council was getting a lot of phone calls back then that people were very upset that the bus could be up to a half an hour late, or it would go by and not even stop at a stop. So we changed the schedule so that there was hub stops and not a stop at every bus stop. One of the other reasons we did that is to save our brakes. Every time we went to a stop, we would have to brake. Now we go about every five stops, and that helps the on the maintenance on the vehicles. The other thing is there was a lot of dead miles. For those that don't know what a dead mile is, that means when you get in the bus as a driver and you go out to your first stop, there's that short period of time that there's nobody on the bus and nobody, there's no tolls being paid or anything like that. At that time, it was almost 300 dead miles a month. By changing the schedule, I got it down to about 162
dead runs.
Yeah, it was 162 miles instead of the almost 300, which is saving 130 miles every month just on the wear and tear on the vehicles. In the scoring that the committee had came up with, they docked me for well, starting at the top, it was the key personnel. I've been managing the bus for the last 3 years, and I put all the same people that were that have been working as to be with it. So I don't understand why I got docked a point just by using the same people that we have been using since I started. The firm's qualifications, I understand that I have a new company, but I think we need to look past the company and actually know that it's been me for the last 3 years that's been running this bus, and I've already showed some of the improvements, and I got a zero score in that same area. I can't understand why after managing it for 3 years that I got a zero with all the improvements that I have had. The financial history and stability I can understand because I have a brand new company, but I think the council, if they would give me the benefit of the doubt, I could prove that I can still manage this under my own company and not for Catholic Community Services. The transit plan was the other thing that they docked me on, and I've been running it, and I've been working with the other cities in the area and SIGO from day one. So I don't understand why I got also knocked on that thing. The only other thing that there was that they had a problem with us with me not having a backup bus. Well, part of me, when I took over, within just a few months, every bus that the city owned broke down, and we actually had to rent buses. We rented a bus for a whole month and a couple of weeks because every bus was broke down. That's when I actually started a maintenance program so that those buses go in routinely And if there's something going on, all the drivers have been instructed to let me know immediately so that we could get it taken care of and not have broken down buses. We have another new bus on order. I don't think the city at this point is going to need another backup vehicle, but that was another thing that they had criticized me on that sheet. At the very top, and I know you guys have all the score sheets, it says that I'm not in SAMS. I have documentation that I registered. It's a government entity, and it has not gone through the computer yet. If you guys want to see that document, I have that document here in my folder that I'm actually registered with SAMS. It just has not gone through. I called them today, and part of that is because the LLC has not been finalized. They have not finalized it in the SAMS, but I did file for all that documentation. The last thing was the price difference between myself and Douglas. We are 1% different, and they knocked me 4 points by being a simple 1% different between Douglas and I. So for me to try to understand why I got docked so many points when I've been doing this over the past 3 years. And part of this is a passion. It's not about running the bus. It's about serving the people. I've been serving the people of Bisbee for the last 3 years. And I'm sure you're going to hear from some of those people tonight. I'm dedicated to taking care of the people that are here. As a small business coming into town, I don't feel I got a fair deal with the judging, but I would ask that the council really consider that just my service that I have did for the Bisbee bus. It's not from another town or from another place. It's been right here in this town, in this community. I know the people. I know the riders. I know the town. I know the people at the senior center. There's a whole aspect that I don't think that everybody is totally seeing here. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Lopes. Next, we will have Carlos De La Torre, City of Douglas, City Manager.
Mayor, members of the council, good evening. It's really been an honor really to address you tonight. Obviously, the City of Douglas is really interested in this proposal. We, the City of Douglas, have really taken over our transit program since 2012. Our ridership has increased since then. Currently, through our program, we're partnering with Freeport McMoRan and Cochise College to be able to make the Cochise connection, and that is a connection between Douglas, the college, and then Bisbee. So we've done that for the past couple of years. Since we took over the system in 2012, we have had very good ratings from ADOT regarding how we operate, how we run the system. In terms of the question in front of you regarding, and that question came up last time, in terms of it really becomes to be more like a policy decision from the council whether a public entity should be bidding against or competing against the private sector. This day and age, we see a lot of municipalities basically privatizing, and we also see a lot of municipalities entering into IGAs, MOUs with other entities really to reduce pretty much the cost and operating cost, and ultimately about the bottom line and also maximizing the service and the services that we provide to our citizens. There was a question last time that the RP required that the provider should have an office in Bisbee. It was really something that was looked at as a consideration was in terms of a preference, but not really a requirement in terms of the bid. Our small fee related to facilities was we basically had intended to run the system in a very similar form and fashion as Catholic Community Services is doing, running it remotely from another location. We would be doing the same thing, and if it were required really for us to set up a small office here in Bisbee, we would be more than happy to do that. We basically in Douglas have private space that we lease out to private individuals, so we would basically be seeking the same thing here in Bisbee as well. And if we need to go beyond that and maybe partner with a few of the local merchants so we can offer those passes for sale, we would be more than happy to do that. Obviously, the concern is if we're running out of Douglas, it really the concern and also was a concern from our council is how can we keep the two things separate, running the two systems separately. Obviously, we would have separate staffing levels for both systems, but also taking advantage of some of the overhead and some of the folks that would be running both systems. But we would basically very professionally would keep the two systems separately. The Douglas issue will continue to be Douglas issues and will be basically dealt with very professionally as we have done for the past three to 4 years, and we will be basically doing the same thing for the Bisbee community as well. So, Mayor, thank you, and we look forward to a positive.
Thank you. I'm just going to squeeze a quick comment in. I have received some phone calls from the public concerning the Bisbee bus, and their major concern, really the only concern I really heard, was make sure it's on time. This is for Mr. De La Torre, Mr. Lopes, and also Mr. Hager. That was a major concern that I heard in talking to people, is on time. Thank you. Next, we will go to Mr. Chris Hager.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and Council. I'm Chris Hager. I'm the Corporate General Manager with Total Transit Value Trans. And I would like to congratulate you and the whole city of Bisbee on that wonderful expose you did last Friday with Channel 3 News. It was quite the talk of the town up there up north in Phoenix. I got to watch most of it, but whatever I didn't get to watch, I did see a lot of positive reviews over it. And to address that office issue right there, if you look at page 8 of the RFP, I'll read right from it. Contractor shall establish an office. I don't know where that shall word means, that you can or cannot, but I understand shall meaning you would. I think I mentioned last week that I do appreciate the opportunity to address this council and you, and I do again tonight. I've been in this business for almost 30 years, and this RFP and this RFP process has been quite the experience, I have to tell you this. Thank you for having staff come back and give some of the explanation on the backup material that you have with the points. But I would like to call your attention to that backup material. If you look at the category of experience, qualification, and resources, that part that's highlighted there where it says some above, excuse me, there's a few things that send up red flags to me. Whoever was on this evaluation committee, I don't believe did the research very deeply, because if you look at the fourth criteria, it says firm's financial resources. So Total Transit, San Pedro Transit, and the City of Douglas got the exact same 555. Well, Total Transit's revenue was $130 million last year. Was San Pedro's transit revenue $100 million? Is the City of Douglas worth $130 million? How did everybody get the same financial resources exactly the same? If you go up a little bit more on the next one, financial history and stability, I do see that San Pedro got a zero. I could see if the City of Douglas received a 1 or 2 points in this category for the same amount. We've been in business for 31 years. We made $100 million last year. How could a city entity that's their annual income or their annual revenue that they take in every year doesn't even match close to that. Next up is personnel experience and qualifications. 9, 10, 9. The manager that we're proposing, Ms. Nunez back there, she's running a transit system right now as we speak with 32 drivers, 18 buses. All these with all these evaluations sent up red flags in my mind. Also, if you go down to the bottom of that same document there, it says notes. Three or four of these questions have Total Transit's name attached to them, and they have questions on them. Now, the City of Bisbee staff asked us to be available on July 1st from 10 to 2 to answer questions that this evaluation committee may have. I did receive a call. I was asked one question. That one question was none of those questions that are on there. I don't understand half this process. And I do have to say that I did receive an email, a communication from your staff about a letter that San Pedro Transit sent to you, Mr. Mayor, and his council. And as your attorney knows, that should not and cannot happen in an open bid. And also, last 2 weeks ago, I saw your staff having a private communication with somebody from the city manager with a private conversation from the city of Douglas. And I'm sure if you check with your city attorney, that cannot and should not happen. And I wish I didn't have to bring these issues up, but believe you me, it's not the money. I have probably six transit contracts. We make more in a month than this would probably do in 5 years. But it's the principle now. It's come down. It's not right. The City of Bisbee receives financial funding from the federal government. They have guidelines that you have to follow during procurement. And these are fair and impartial guidelines. They were not met. Mr. Mayor and Council, I respectfully request that you do not accept staff's recommendations this evening to award this contract to the City of Douglas, because both San Pedro Transit and the City of Douglas both violated those federal procurement guidelines. I respectfully request that you award the contract to Total Transit Value Trans and you direct your staff to begin negotiations with us. We can set up operations within 2 weeks. And again, understand, it's not about money. It's about making positive changes in this community. It's about making a difference in people's lives. It's using our company and our resources and our experience to develop a regional transit system here in Cochise County. It's directing all the cities, Sierra Vista, Douglas, Tombstone, all these into a regional funding system, into a regional transit system, where every individual city is not fighting and scratching for money. You do it all together. I've already coordinated this through the Arizona Transit Association. They think that it's a strong possibility that we can go after this. We can do it together as a region. And again, this is not, it is not about money anymore. It's about the principle of this. It's about getting people where they need to go. It's about making a difference in people's lives. Mr. Mayor, Council, thank you again for your attention. I appreciate your time.
Thank you. Let me, we have a few more people signed up, but I think we need to do a quick reference to the city attorney. And I know Ms. Orduño was here 2 weeks ago, and there was a review of sorts going on. Do you have some comments, Mr. Hansen?
The only thing that I'm aware of that Ms. Orduño looked into was with Mr. Johnson and Ms. Carbajal about the scoring. And I think Mr. Johnson could probably speak to that, or Ms. Carbajal can speak to the scoring better. But after the review, I was told by Ms. Orduño, confirmed by Mr. Johnson, that the scoring was indeed done according to the book. So, and as far as the allegations that were made just a minute ago, I'm not aware of the facts that were. I heard there was a complaint about violations of procurement, but I don't know what facts he was talking about would have led to the violation. So I can't really comment on that.
Okay. Thank you. We are now going to continue on. Debbie Pro. Hope I'm saying that name right.
Mayor, Council. Put my glasses on here. I would like to take the opportunity to recommend San Pedro Transportation. I have been using the bus for the last 2 years since I moved back to Bisbee. I do have a vehicle and drive occasionally, but to park at the old high school is a bit challenging sometimes. And so if I don't have to drive, then I rather take the bus. And they've been on time. Their customer service is very excellent. And I believe they have a strong commitment to the city, especially during the tourist and to the residents. They seem to invest their personal selves in us. There is a lot of people who ride the bus. I do pay to ride the bus, and it's pretty cheap. It's $25 for a month, so it's pretty inexpensive to be able to ride. I have another letter of recommendation from the Bisbee Senior Association Director, Charles Crispell. He says, Troy has managed the Bisbee Bus Company, San Pedro Transit, for the past 3 years and has taught the drivers during this period. We have a bus stop right in front of our main entrance of the Bisbee Senior Center. There have been times when we needed to call and one thing or another for the seniors and the handicapped. It has always been more convenient to have the main office here in the city of Bisbee. We have had a good working relationship with Troy concerning the buses. I believe it is always beneficial to our city to do much as we can to keep businesses such as the city bus here in Bisbee. It is not just my opinion, but others as well as Troy is by far best the person to continue managing and owning the city bus transit for the benefit of Bisbee and the surrounding area. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Bro. We have next, and I probably should have put it in order, but I didn't, Mr. Steve Hamelin from Total Transit.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and Council. I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you. While I appreciate Mr. Lopes's passion for running the system, and I understand the city manager from Douglas's point of view, the thing that needs to be realized here is that this is an FTA procurement. You are the recipient of 5311 funding that is grant money passed down through the FTA. So is the city of Douglas. And they also, you know, the FTA has spent many, many years refining this process and putting together a set of rules and regulations and processes in place so that they ensure that it's a fair and equitable distribution of work across the United States, that those people that are qualified to be bidders are qualified ahead of time, and then that whoever is submitting the bid is the most qualified bidder. In essence, the FTA wants to ensure that you, as a city entity, get the best service possible. And with a lot of the things that have gone on with this procurement, your city attorney was asking about some of the violations, and I can only refer him to the FTA Guide of Procurement System review, dated May of 2013. Number 11 is organizational conflict of interest. Okay, and if you'll allow me, I'd like to read it. The organizational conflict of interest, an organizational conflict of interest occurs when any of the following circumstances arise. A lack of impartiality, when the contractor is unable or potentially unable to render impartial assistance or advice to the recipient due to other activities, relationships, contracts, or other circumstances. I'm sure that the city of Bisbee and the city of Douglas have a relationship. B is impaired objectivity, when the contractor's objectivity in performing the contract work is or might be otherwise impaired due to other activities, relationships, contracts, or other circumstances. And then C is the unfair competitive advantage. The contractor has an unfair competitive advantage. And it quotes the FTA circular 4220. Now, given that, on page 4 of your RFP, number 12, under certification, by signature in the offer section of the offer page, the bidder certifies, A, the submission of the offer did not involve collusion or anti-competitive pricing. One city bidding on another city's work against a for-profit company is an anti-competitive practice. Okay. The other thing is that because the two cities have a relationship and work closely together, whether it's intentional or just perceived, the perception of collusion does not want to be a mainstay here, something that the FTA would look at, because not only does it put your 5311 funding at risk, but it also puts their 5311 funding at risk, should it prove to be factual. B of that section in number 12 is that the bidder has not given, offered to give, or intends to give at any time hereafter any economic opportunity. Future employment, gift, loan, gratuity, special discount, trip, favor, or service to a public servant in connection with the submitted offer. Now, I would submit that just the fact that you had a city officer put the bid out and the city of Douglas has submitted a bid that doesn't follow the guideline, which I'll get to in a minute, that is giving favor or service to a public entity, public servant. On page 7 at the bottom of the page, the project is funded in part by the formula grant for rural access, and I've already covered the 5311 grant funding and how you're affected by that. Considering that both the City of Bisbee and the City of Douglas are FTA 53 funding recipients, again, the mere appearance of impropriety or collusion should be a serious factor of consideration for the award of this contract. And then I'm not even going to go into the scoring. The scoring was, it may have been done in accordance with the book. I don't know what book we're talking about, but the FTA has a certain number of guidelines to follow, and they have minimums that you can attain when scoring, and that's fine. However, there is a disparity when you look at the fact that three people in this room from Total Transit have close to 60 years of transit experience, and the two other entities have 3 years of running a transit system. And one of those is Monday through Friday from 8 to 3. We run 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in multiple cities around the country. So the comparison isn't even close. We talked earlier about the financial resources. The city of Douglas spends three times what they spend on transit taking care of their wastewater treatment. And the fact of the matter is that as a whole, their whole organization is roughly a $33 million concern, and we're a $130 million concern out there taking care of business. The reason for saying that is not to flaunt who we are. We take every one of these transit projects very seriously. We put our heart and soul into it. We have a set of core principles that we live by, and one of those core principles is to be transparent. And when you look at the bids and the way that they were submitted, we broke everything down in an effort to be very transparent in our approach. While the other two entities, I will give Mr. Lopes credit for the way that he broke his down. He was much more detailed than the city of Douglas. But again, the appearance of impropriety or collusion tends to make one think, why weren't things broken down and given in detail? The only other thing that I want to mention about the scoring sheet is that in your notes it says Total Transit has some transit-related litigation, which is a completely untrue statement, and our answer to that in the bid noted that although we are a very large concern and from time to time litigation does pop up within our organization, at this time we have nobody in our organization, no litigations pending against any officer or official for Total Transit or Value Trans. One last thing that I wanted to talk about was that on the scoring sheet, on the pricing page, on the pricing page that you submitted in this RFP, it states that proposer shall provide a fixed fee proposal for the provision of services described herein. The fixed fee shall be inclusive of all costs associated with the project. Please provide pricing in the following format for the Bisbee bus route. We did that. The City of Douglas, however, added information at the bottom, and it says potential additional costs if incurred. $10,000 for added underinsured motorists limits, see insurance page. And they also have another note here that's 0.445 cents per mile for temporary vehicle replacement over a three-day period. Again, violation of the FTA procurement because it says that a fixed fee shall be inclusive of all costs. So what this is saying is that we're going to give you our price, but we might have to give you a bill later on for $10,000 if we find out that we got to pay more for our insurance. Now, they didn't list any insurance costs on their breakdown, which everybody knows that if you add one vehicle to a fleet, your insurance costs go up. That's just the way it is. So I don't know how that they're going to add three vehicles to their city fleet if, in fact, they plan to insure them under their city policy and not have their insurance go up. So I would submit to you and the council that, by default, Total Transit is the only one that met all of the requirements of your RFP, which is guided by the FTA, and I would submit that, by default, you should award that contract to us and start negotiation with us. And if you need a better price and you need a better explanation on what we're spending our money on, then we're happy to do that for you. And we will take this transit system to the next level, where it should be, a regional transit system that covers all of the area. Thank you for your time.
One quick question.
Yes, sir.
We're kind of getting into some dangerous areas when you were talking about a possible appearance of impropriety and collusion. Is that just your opinion? Do you have evidence of that?
Do I have evidence of it?
Yeah. You said a possible appearance of impropriety and collusion.
Correct.
Appearance. Now, that's just an opinion, right?
Well, I read that right out of the FTA guideline, what they consider to be collusion and what they consider to be an organizational conflict of interest. And a conflict of interest can be perceived as an impropriety.
Okay. That's a pretty serious charge.
You're right.
Mr. Mayor, may I ask one question, please?
Mr. Brett Hansen, City Attorney.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm sorry, I didn't catch your name?
Steve Hamlin.
Mr. Hamlin. You, as the mayor has pointed out, you made a very serious allegation here. Before tonight, did you put anything in writing about this allegation to either Ms. Carbajal, Mr. Johnson, myself, or anyone else at the city?
No, sir. I wasn't aware of most of this until very recently.
Well, like, so nothing in writing to anyone before tonight?
So no, sir.
All that we have to go on is what you've said tonight?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thanks.
The research that I've done with the FTA.
Council Member Hansen.
What is your position with the company?
I'm the National Business Development Manager in public transportation.
We're going to go down the list again. Next we have Monica Patience.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. My name is Monica Patience. I'm a local business owner. And I met Troy Lopez at the Kiwanis Club that I belong to. And he impressed me by coming to the Kiwanis Club to talk to the people. I feel that he tries to connect with the people here in Bisbee. And also, he's local, and as a local business person, I like to see more local businesses here. And that's really why, and I also see that I feel he connects with people, and he was telling us how he was carrying groceries for the riders, and there are many people that need that kind of help. So that's what I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Monica Patience. Next we have Daniel Sinlinas, I believe.
Good evening. My name is Daniel Salinas. I am a busy bus driver, one of the busy bus drivers. I have a letter here from Mr. Chris, who wasn't able to make it tonight, so I'm going to be reading it for him. To those concerned, I've been using the busy bus since I first came to busy several years ago. When I first rode the bus, the service was adequate but not what you would call reliable. The bus was either late to the stop, early to leave, and frequently suffered from mechanical troubles, with the implication of the new schedule nearly 2 years ago, the problems went away. The bus rider stops on time and left on time, and the mechanical problems lessened as well. All good things to for a local community. Today, bus service is good. It's on time and in service to the community. I can only attribute this coincidence to the change in personnel and management of the bus. It would be a shame for the community of Bisbee to give control of the asset to another entity outside of our community. Keeping the management of Busy Bus in Busy will promote economic advancement and opportunity for our residents and by that, improve the community financially at large. Sending such an economic resource to another community is foolish and a mistake. Over roughly the same period of time, I have also used the Douglas Bus. My experience with Douglas Bus has been less than impressive. The schedule seems to be mostly a vague suggestion. Many of the buses I have ridden are in need of repair, more than once the bus is broken down in service, and maybe worst of all, most of the drivers don't only speak Spanish, or at least have very limited English vocabulary, making this very difficult for communications. In my opinion, it would be a great mistake to allow an outside entity, especially one so poorly run, to be allowed to operate the Busy Bus. Thank you.
Thank you. Daniel Salinas. I'm not going to refer over to the city manager, Mr. Johnson, but before that, I might be a little bit confused. Obviously, Catholic Community Services is not picking up the contract. Will the drivers from one of these entities that we may select tonight, will they maintain the drivers? I don't know that. Was that ever brought up? I think that's important.
Yeah, you know, Mayor, I really can't say whether or not, you know, Total Transit, San Pedro, Douglas would hire the drivers. I'm not sure. That's certainly, you know, they're within their purview as to whether or not they would open up a recruitment and hire the drivers, that the existing drivers that are currently employed by CCS, not the city of Bisbee.
Okay.
And if you want, did you want me to go ahead and?
Yeah, go ahead and do the presentation.
Okay.
You and.
Can I answer that? In the RFP, it asks who your personnel is going to be.
All three would have the opportunity to answer that.
Okay. Well.
You can come up. Come up and state your name and answer that. But the other two entities also get an opportunity to answer that too.
Troy Lopes with the San Pedro Transit. Actually, in the RFP, it does ask what personnel that you plan on using. And that's why I couldn't understand why I was dropped a point, because I put everybody that was working with Catholic Community Services on that. And I will test for Total Transit, because they asked us if we would be willing to go to work for them also.
Okay.
So I don't know about the city of Douglas. They haven't asked any of myself nor the drivers if they would want to go.
Okay, City of Douglas, you can certainly respond to that. Once again, Mr. Carlos De La Torre, City Manager, City of Douglas.
Mayor, members of the council, we would basically follow. We would be open to hire and select the individuals that are currently employed by Catholic Community Services. We do have to go through a process. We have to. We just can't hire just people just because we want to hire. We got the same hire process as any other entity. We'll be welcome, basically, them applying for those positions. We certainly would have to go through the process, the advertisement, the qualifications, and the certifications. And so if they succeed, yeah, most definitely they'll be basically assigned or be hired to fill those positions. But to be as a total guarantee, I really would be not honest in if I would tell you that we would absolutely hire each and every one of those drivers.
Well, let me just prod you just a little bit. With their experience and knowledge of Bisbee and bus routes, maybe they would have a good chance. Let's put it like that.
Absolutely. Okay. Yes.
I want them to feel
absolutely
not worried is what I'm trying
yes,
to do.
Yes, that's exactly it.
Council, have any comments on that? No. Let's go back to we're going to wait on that, Donna. Let's go back to Mr. Justin Johnson, City Manager.
Thank you, Mayor. We certainly had quite a bit of discussion on this particular item tonight. So let me start by saying something. A word that was thrown out at a point in this discussion is principle. Principle. I, Ms. Carbajal, the city staff, and you all have a fiduciary responsibility to the taxpayers, not just of this community, the state of Arizona, and the United States of America. So when I say principle, I'm very intentional when I say that. So that fiduciary responsibility that I'm referring to is the difference between the highest and lowest responsive bidder, which is $129,284. So when we say it's not about money, Let's be honest, because it is. And so I, as your city manager that you've engaged to provide guidance, judgment, things of that nature, I rely very heavily on professional staff. And so under principle, when their credibility is called into question, I'm going to say something. Ms. Carbajal has done an outstanding job as it relates to the management of this program. Ms. Carbajal also reached out to other professionals in this particular arena for guidance and support, feedback, and to critique what she's actually doing. So when we talk about principal, $129,284 is the difference. My next point. Someone said benefit of the doubt. Benefit of the doubt. I, as your city manager, will not make a recommendation to you all. Now, quite frankly, you all are the policymakers, and the responsibility at the end of the day rests with you, who you choose to engage with. But me to give you all a recommendation based on, quote, benefit of the doubt, based on the history not of the individual, but of the company, the backing in which they have. No one's questioning the individual experience because it's very strong. They've done an outstanding job over the years, as we've heard tonight. I have personal experience with the outstanding job that not only the manager of the bus program has provided, but as well as the drivers. Outstanding job. But to provide a recommendation to you all based on, quote, benefit of the doubt, I would not be providing you a recommendation based on fiduciary responsibility if benefit of the doubt is the criteria. Lastly, what I'll say on this side of the house, we talk about relationships. We talk about the appearance of collusion. Very valid points, and I certainly appreciate those points. But when an allegation of collusion from not just Ms. Carbajal, but myself, I take it very serious. And with that, I'm going to refer to, once we're done, to our city attorney to comment on it. But to be perfectly candid and honest with you, there has been no, quote, collusion or the appearance of, based on a conversation that I have had walking into this building or this room this morning with Mr. De La Torre. We have freedom of information. If you want to check emails or whatever the case may be, feel free. But when we talk about, again, relationships or the appearance thereof, when we went through the proposal process, one of the, as we've heard tonight, quote, red flags that one of the professionals pointed out during the review process is the fact that with Total Transit, one of the things that you have is a category with key personnel. And if I were them, I'd absolutely hire the best. But the appearance or perception thereof, one of the key personnels is also someone that's competing for this bid. And as I said to you at the last meeting, I can't say whether or not that's an equitable way to do things. But when we talk about, quote, red flags and, quote, appearance, that's what I'm referring to. Now, with that said, I had Ms. Carbajal go through the recording of the last meeting and kind of pull out some of the points. And as a courtesy to Mr. Hagan, I appreciate those points. I'm going to respond. First point, in the term staff recommends, quote, to engage in services with the lowest and responsive bidder. I'll raise my hand. That's the wording on the council action form. It's wording. It's language. But quite frankly, it's pretty clear to identify the fact that the lowest and most responsive bidder is the city of Douglas. Again, back to my point about principal, $129,000. The second point, 20 points of evaluation on price only. However, the other points were similar in most areas where the difference of 15 points was enough. If we're evaluating firms based on a number of criteria, I would think, and this is the same evaluation form we used the last go-round when CCS submitted and won, 20 points out of 100. And 20 points based on price, I would think price is a pretty significant rating criteria. And it's a fair question that Mr. Hager raised. cost of office space. Well, what was stated, RFP page 8, contract shall have an office. Contract also says the city may give a higher rating to a contractor who has a facility accessible to the public for business. That wasn't even part of the evaluation criteria, whether or not we were giving points based on office space. But since it was brought up about space, to give you the full picture of what the RFP says, contractor shall establish an office where business is to be conducted, which includes but not limited to a space to provide riders with bus passes and hold driver and dispatch trainings and meetings. All furnishings, equipment, and supplies are the responsibility of the contractor. And later on in that paragraph, the city may, not shall, may give higher evaluation ratings to bidders that is designated as a pre-established facility for this work over those submitting several candidates or none. Again, it wasn't a criteria that we rated on, they were evaluated on. And another point in that particular section, because something was said last meeting, and again, I don't know if it, for whatever reason it was stated that our residents are going to may have to go all the way to Douglas to receive passes, to buy their passes. That's not a factual statement. We had our ADOT evaluation here over the last about a month and a half ago or so, and so one of the things that we were doing is having CCS selling those passes. It was recommended by ADOT, and I have the documentation here. If there's any question whatsoever what the facts state. By October 1st, 2015, individually numbered monthly passes and developed procedures to track passes by number, ADOT recommends selling monthly passes to the general public. Had a conversation with Sharon Bono. By October 1st, we can sell the passes based on the volume of passes that are sold per month. It's a moot point because that's something they can handle very easily, very efficiently. So it's in my mind, it's a non-issue. The fourth point, RFP, additional terms and conditions make the bid invalid. It also says that the city reserves the right. Oh, I'm sorry. So one of the things I would say, the additional terms and conditions makes the bid invalid. But it also states in that same paragraph on page 11, I have the RFP here, city reserves the right to line out any item within each bid. Fifth point, not competitive with private enterprise. Well, I would sure argue, San Pedro put together a pretty competitive bid. They are very close based on the experience that they've had, the history within the organization, the history with Ms. Carbajal going forward. They put together a pretty competitive bid, I would dare say. And I think if they were going through this process with another community, they'd be just as competitive.
One point I might bring up, and I may be off base a little bit, and I know Douglas has already set up, but their administrative costs were about $25,000 to $30,000 more than the city of Douglas. Is that what I saw in there?
You mean saying between Total Transit and city of Douglas?
Just the administrative costs. I know there's only $6,000.
Excuse me, one second. Corinne, can you come to the mic?
So yeah. We have dead air there and people are tuning out.
ADOT made recommendations to us, and so we had to send out an amendment. Everybody signed off on it. But that changed a lot of the scope of, I shouldn't say that. That amendment, as per ADOT requirement, FTA told us to go ahead, made us made that bid, I thought was going to be less costly. You know, I was like, well, that was going to cost as much because they're not doing what CCS, what we expected CCS to do. So, but their prices range kind of similar. The lower ones range similar to the one that we had about 4 or 5 years ago. That was the previous one, except for CCS, which, of course, at that time, they had more transit systems. So I don't want to get here or there. But the fact is that we're following FTA's and ADOT's recommendations. And FTA and ADOT were here, and FTA and ADOT were, with an FTA person that represented the FTA for the site review to make us compliant with the FTA, was here when we told them that the three people that we had interested in bidding for the system was, that was one of them was Douglas, and one of them was San Pedro, and one was Total Transit. So at that time, both my ADOT managers and the FTA, a person representing the FTA site review, was here when I told that to them. And just for verification, I kind of checked with Sam to make sure that a city is even eligible because of, you know, open, just to make that, the Section 49 that he's talking about, the open and fair competitive bidding. And that's pretty much what it says. It just has to be open and fair. And they did not, and I included that in your packet, they did not restrict the city from bidding. They did not. So, you know, and I did double check with ADOT. I triple checked with ADOT. I double checked with the FTA site review person. I double checked with everybody, just about everything that you saw there. I checked with as many people as I could, except for the people on my chat that might be bidding. So I kept them completely in the dark, out of the loop, as much as I, you know, didn't gain any points.
Well, I guess let me just ask again. I mean, you probably answered and I didn't catch it.
I'm sorry.
I know between the two bids, between San Pedro and the City of Douglas, is only $6,000. But in the administrative cost, there was a significant difference where the City of Douglas was $52,000 and San Pedro was, I think, $83,000. So my question is, because San Pedro would have much higher administrative costs, is that less money for the service of the buses? I don't know. You explain that to me because I don't know that.
I think it would depend on salaries, on what they anticipate paying their salary and the benefits. Because really, on their administration portion, they would have their overhead costs, you know, all the costs of running administratively the system. And then they would have the salaries included, you know. And part of San Pedro did have on, specifically on that, that's where you would see the difference. It would be depending on salaries where, you know, who's going to get a higher salary, who's not going to get on a higher salary. Also, if you have a transit manager or somebody that you can split the cost to, that does help. You know, and so if you had a transit manager that also manages other systems, you can cut your cost significantly. You should be able to cut your cost significantly, not put the entire burden on one system or claim the burden's been put on one system, and, you know, because that would actually make it more competitive. So.
As the city manager pointed out, we do have also responsibility to dwell on the costs of this. And it is a responsibility that we have, and obviously on the paper, the City of Douglas is the low bidder on that. $6,000 less than San Pedro, and what was $129,000 less than Total Transit in that ballpark. So we do have that responsibility to watch money. Let me refer to Mr. Johnson. Did you need to say more?
Yeah, sir. Ms. Carbajal, she hit my last point, and thank you for doing that. If it's okay with you, Mayor, I'd like to turn it over to Mr. Hansen.
Mr. Hansen, do you have any comments?
Yes, and I can be very brief. The gentleman, Mr. Hamlin, from Total Transit, threw out the words conflict of interest, collusion, relationship, anti-competitive. They're serious words, but I didn't hear any facts to support it. Just the fact that the City of Douglas is 25 miles away and also located in Cochise County does not, of course, by itself establish any kind of conflict of interest or relationship that would make for unfair bidding. So you've got Ms. Carbajal and Mr. Johnson and other staff evaluating this in a very fair way. And absent some facts, just throwing out the words does not make for a conflict of interest or any other thing that ought to undermine the bid.
Thank you. Ms. Carbajal, would you want to come up so we can all hear? Karina Carbajal.
Part of the review, I actually invited other people who work with transit, who work the 53 and 10 and 5311 grants to sit in And I did. They came from a couple areas and reviewed and saw what we saw immediately, just about. So it wasn't just strictly the city of Bisbee. These are outside people who really have nothing, no relationship. No, it doesn't work, don't work here, don't get any money from here. And they were able to offer us insight. And they saw it too, so.
Thank you. Any comments or questions from the council? Councilmember Sullivan.
Thank you. I have a question for the city manager, of Douglas Carlos De La Torre.
Would you want to come up, Mr. De La Torre?
Thank you. I was just curious. You mentioned something about merchant passes, and it was over my head when you were talking, and just was wondering what you were talking about.
Mayor, Councilmember Sullivan, what I envisioned was if my understanding is currently bus passes are being sold with the drivers and being sold at each bus right now. So what I envisioned was maybe there's a possibility that we could reach out to some of the local merchants and really allow for the sale of those passes used in the local merchants. So if there's a liquor store or there's a convenience store that we can basically use and partner with and allow basically for the sale of those passes, it would really provide that essentially that service to the local residents, not only relying on the bus driver to be able to sell that ticket, but also allow for some other third-party private vendors to be able to sell those passes if the need basically became to be a real need for the residents of Bisbee.
Okay, thank you so much for answering that. I was just curious what that meant, but it's a good idea. And I do have a couple of other comments. You can sit down. I don't have.
Thank you, Mr.
For you.
Mr. De La Torre.
I guess, did we want to hear from Total Transit about answering the question of who they were going to be having, if they were going to hire our same bus drivers? Because the other two got a chance to answer to that question, or.
Well, that's up to those two other entities.
Oh.
I think Mr. De La Torre indicated, they have to, review that, of course.
Yeah. Well, I just thought that was a pretty pertinent question, keeping our bus drivers if we can. And I guess Mr. Lopez implied that, Total Transit would also be keeping the same bus drivers. So I was wondering if that was. Yes.
We did reach out to.
Would you want to come up to the microphone so when the clerks do the minutes, they know who's speaking? Mr. Hamlin.
We did reach out to the current employees and offered them employment contingent upon passing all of our FTA guideline stringent restrictions that we have. They have to pass a drug test. They have to pass a background check, fingerprinting. They have to go through proper training. And if they were able to complete all of that we would indeed offer them a job. And I believe we even put a dollar figure on it that was higher than what they were currently making. So to your question, yes, we were going to employ all the same employees. I found it odd that when the offer was made that Troy didn't point out the fact that he was bidding against us. And so none of that was ever mentioned to us. Mm-hmm. And we just found out at the last meeting that he, in fact, was bidding against us. So not saying that changes anything, but the intent was to keep everybody on board.
And as Mr. Lopez is currently managing it, would you consider having him also manage the transit system here? Or just as a driver?
We were going to make him a dispatcher, I believe. And we were going to bring our own transit manager in with the additional experience. Because, again, we do things a certain way, and we make sure that things run a certain way. And rather than train somebody who hasn't done it the Total Transit way, we already have people in place that have been trained to do so.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Just a couple more comments.
Certainly.
Thank you. I've ridden the bus quite a lot, and my mother doesn't drive. She's been riding the bus here in Bisbee for the last 30-plus years, and so I hear about the bus from her almost on a daily basis. And she used to complain about the bus a lot. And she was very upset about how it was never on time, and sometimes it wouldn't even stop. It would drive right by her. And in the last couple of years, she has just been so much happier because of the way the bus is running. And I've gotten a lot of feedback from the community stating the same thing. Please don't change the bus on us now. And I think that because the contracts between, or the bids between San Pedro and Douglas Transit are very close, there's only $6,000 difference. It's in the best interest of our community members who are used to the way it's running now, and Mr. Lopez, who's shown his track record to have improved the system. And with all respect to Ms. Carbajal and the recommendation of staff, because I do see that they've done a good job here, based on the public input that I've received and all of that, I would recommend that we go with the San Pedro.
Let me make a comment, and City Manager, correct me if I'm mistaken on this. Mr. Lopes, he's been working for Catholic Community Services, mm-hmm. and San Pedro was LLC was created not that long ago. Am I correct on that?
Yeah, I think he stated it hasn't quite been finalized. I'm not sure if that's what it was stated. So maybe
it was created recently just to, so that I could bid on this contract. So yes, it's only been a few months, and I still haven't got all the paperwork back from the state or from the federal.
Thank you. The city of Douglas has been operating your bus service for how long?
2012.
Okay. So there's a question. Mr. Lopes, you've been working for Catholic Community Services. It is not, that was not your business, but now you have a new company and want the Bisbee bus business. Is that correct? Am I being fair?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay.
The same time that Douglas took over their bus system from Catholic Community Services, 2 months after is when I was hired to actually come in and start running the Bisbee bus. So I've been doing it the exact same amount of time as Douglas has been doing their system. As far as the recording and all the, I think I've been working hand in hand with Karina to make sure that all of we follow all the FDA, we follow ADOT's, all their regulations. We've actually, our last inspections have all been excellent. As far as our drug testing, the ADOT came to my office and went through all of our files, and they had no complaints whatsoever of our drug testing program. So they are also in line. We've been in line, and they've been notified that I was trying to bid for this also.
I will say that I've heard good things in the community about you and the service that you have worked for, working with Catholic Community Services. People speak highly of you. However, this council has a responsibility to, in a sense, and I don't know how much of a gamble that would be, Douglas has a proven track record. And so I feel more confident of going with somebody that already has an operation up and running instead of a new company. And I'm sure Mr. Lopes has done a magnificent job. People tell me that. But once again, it would be dealing with a brand new company, and certainly there's not a track record of that. And that's my concern. I'm a little bit cautious, maybe a little too conservative in this area perhaps, but I want to go with something that's already in existence. That's really what I want to do. Any other? Councilmember Doug.
Mayor, certainly my feedback from constituents are don't change. That's consistently what I've heard from my constituents is we have a good system now, don't change it.
I'm not exactly sure what that means because Catholic Community Services is bowing out. I'm
correct.
Not sure what that means.
The present operation under Catholic Community Services was the Lopes proposal here.
Any other Council Member Connors?
Thank you, Mayor.
what it says to me is whoever does get this contract better do what they've been doing the last 2 years. So you've been put on notice. And I'd like to make a motion, if I may. I move that we enter into a contract with Douglas Transit to provide transit service for the Bisbee Bus Transit Program.
Second.
Did I hear a second?
Yeah.
We have a motion and a second. Any other questions or comments from the council? Mr. Connors made a motion to approve entering into a contract with Douglas Transit to provide transit service for the Bisbee Bus Transit Program. On this item, Ms. Coronado, I need a roll call vote.
Councilmember Connors?
Aye.
Councilmember Hansen?
Aye.
Councilmember Dowdy?
Aye.
Mayor Pro Tem Klein?
Aye.
Councilmember Dunn?
Nay.
Councilmember Sullivan?
Nay.
Mayor Eartley?
Aye. Motion passes 5-2. Item number 4, discussion and possible approval to engage PB&J Design to redesign www.discoverbisbee.com website and branding material. Let me refer to Mr. Johnson, City of Bisbee City Manager.
Thank you again, Mayor. I'm very excited that we're at this point in with PB&J as it relates to moving forward with rebranding not only our destination Discover Bisbee website, but as well as the marketing material that we distribute throughout the country. We've seen a lot of the work that's been put forth by certain members of the committee in various aspects. And so we also had the opportunity to go through a formal RFP process. And so the rating process, I selected folks that from different generational ilks, different experiences, interests, to say the least. And based on the recommendation and the rating of the individuals that I asked, and you all have, as a matter of fact, I actually placed a copy of the proposal, you know, on the table so you all can take a look. Candidly, I mean, PB&J stood head and shoulders above many of the other firms, and most recently the team presented to the iBisbee committee, and one of the raters on the committee gave his reasons why his criteria is ranked, you know, how it turned out. And so with that said, Mr. Golus is here, and I'd certainly invite him up just to say a few words, if that's okay with you. And he can also introduce his team just to say hello.
Is all of PB&J here? Okay.
Two-thirds of PB&J is here.
I have another copy if anyone.
Mr. Peter Goldlust.
Thank you so much, Mr. Johnson. My name is Pete Goldlust. This is Jen Luria. The other third of PB&J is out of the country at the moment, Bridget Shanahan. I'd just like to say thanks for the vote of confidence. It means a lot to us to be here and to be able to ask you for this project. We're really excited about it. I guess I will just quickly go through a few of the things that Mr. Miller mentioned at the iBisbee committee as reasons for why we were selected. We included in our presentation and our proposal several items that were not specifically required. So we felt that we wanted to give some added value in addition to what was asked for. So those items include production of complete press-ready ads. The RFP asked for concepts, and we would like to take that one step further so that there's no additional cost to the city. We wanted to make it all this kind of cleaned up, and there's no additional costs from, you know, after this project is over. So we would also be commissioning local photographers to create 10 photos that would be owned by the City of Bisbee. We would pay for that out of our commission. We have existing relationships with a number of the talented photographers that are around. We think we're in a really good position to negotiate well for the city of Bisbee in order to obtain indefinite rights for those photos so that they're owned outright by the city while still paying a professional rate to the photographers. That was something that was really important to us as well. We're also available because we're local for in-person meetings. Pretty much whenever necessary, we can meet with the visitor center or anyone else involved. There's no limit on that within reason. We're here, we're available, and we felt that was added value. We also proposed that we would also contribute a design and implement a social media campaign. In addition to the print campaign and the web campaign, and we would make a one-year commitment to maintain and operate that social media campaign so that burden doesn't fall on the visitor center or anyone else in town. And finally, we'd also extend that one-year commitment to support the visitor center staff as necessary in using or modifying any of the website or any of the materials. We're here, we're available, and we're not walking away from the project. We want to make it as easy as possible. Anything else?
Any questions or comments from the council? No? Do we have a motion?
I do want to comment.
Oh, Councilmember Dunn?
Yes, and that is, this is definitely your taxpayer dollars in action. I'm certainly pleased that...
You might want to clarify what tax dollars, bed tax.
Yes, I'm going to say, okay. In November, citizens passed a resolution, tax measure in terms of increasing our bed tax by 1%, and this is the money that's being used for this and able to refresh and revitalize our tourism promotion program to do focus even stronger on attracting, promoting Bisbee as an overnight destination. So I'm just extremely pleased with the packet we have, and we have a local contracting firm here who's providing them. So I would like to make the motion that we engage PB&J to redesign the city's of Bisbee's tourism website and rebrand the city's marketing material.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any other comments, questions? No? We have a motion and a second. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, nay. Motion passes unanimously.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Goldless and Bridget. Item number 5 has been pulled from the agenda, so we are going to go to item number 6. Discussion of possible approval of change order number 5 for Westland Resources Incorporated, WRI, to extend construction administration services for the 10-town sewer project from October the 31st, 2013 to June the 28th, 2016, 971 days, in the amount of $11,174.82. Mr. Thomas Klimak, City of Bisbee, Public Works Director.
Thank you, Honorable Mayor and City Council members. Good evening. Before you is a request for change order approval for Westland Resources. We touched on this a little bit last council meeting, wherein Westland Resources would continue to be on call should the city need their services, should we have any malfunctions or misfires or any kind of problems with the Tin Town project. As you know, we do have a lift station there. We also have a gravity sewer system, a solar array panel system in place. So there are things that could go wrong within the first year. And this is highly recommended by the United States Department of Agriculture, Rural Development. And as a result of that, they're willing to pay for this particular service and make it available to the city. So with that being said, it's really kind of an extended insurance policy for additional support and resources.
Thank you. Any questions from the council? Do we have a motion?
I move to approve change order number 5 for Westland Resources, Inc. to extend the construction administration services for the Tin Town Sewer Project from October 31st, 2013 to June 28, 2016, 971 days, in the amount of $11,174.82.
Second. We have a motion and a second. Any other questions or comments? Nope. We have a motion and a second. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Mr. Klimak.
Thank you.
Item number 7, discussion of possible approval of notice of intent to adopt ordinance O-15-04, amending city codes articles 2.6.3 and 2.6.9 to streamline transfers of city real property and eliminating the public auction requirement for certain parcels. Mr. Britt Hansen, City Attorney, City of Bisbee.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I went through the rationale for this proposed ordinance about a month ago at a council meeting. And I don't want to repeat all that, and you don't want me to repeat all that. But the basic rationale is there's a lot of redundancy right now built into the system for disposing of city real estate. That redundancy is really important in certain circumstances, but there's a lot of little tiny parcels that really there's only one bidder for. No reason to go through a bidding process and have all that redundancy at the cost of a lot of published notices, at a lot of cost of staff time, and of course council having a dual reading of proposed ordinances. At the last council meeting, I perceived that one of the questions that was raised and maybe criticisms of the proposal didn't have to do so much with the little bitty parcels as potentially some of the larger, more valuable parcels that the city might want to dispose of. And the suggestion was made that it be made objectively clear in the proposed ordinance to streamline the process that excluded from the streamlined process were any of the larger parcels. And that the way to do that, the suggestion was made, is to apply the streamlined process only where the parcels were 1 acre or smaller, less in value than $5,000. And that way the council could be sure and the city citizens could be sure that none of the larger, more valuable parcels would be included in the streamlined process. And all the redundancy that's in the current process could be followed in those larger parcels. So I did make that adjustment to the language that's in the council's packet. And the language that I added is for any parcel less than an acre in size and which has been determined to have a minimum acceptable bid less than $5,000, then the mayor could follow and the council could follow the streamlined process. So I hope that meets at least some of the concerns about the proposed ordinance. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Well, I want to thank you for putting this together, and I know certain members of the council and probably staff were interested in doing this. I have some problems with it. Once again, I know that you was kind of instructed to put that together. So under 1 acre, and circa about 06 or so, I believe, I think I was opposed to it, but it passed anyway, the council, selling a piece of about, I think about an acre and a quarter, and it sold for $128,000. So the one question that I have, could this land be adjacent to somebody's property, or does it have to be landlocked to somebody's property? I don't know the particular details of that.
Okay.
In other words, what I'm trying to say, an acre can be very, very valuable piece of property depending on where it is.
Sure, and that's why I put the and in there. So it would be a property with a value or with less than an acre in size and with less than $5,000 minimum acceptable bid. So the example you just gave, let's suppose instead of an acre and a quarter, it was 3/4 of an acre worth $100,000. The streamlined process wouldn't apply to that. It couldn't. Let me put it this way. It couldn't apply to that because of the and language. It has to be both criteria, less than an acre and have a minimum acceptable bid less than $5,000.
Okay. Could this land be, instead of landlocked in somebody's property, could it be adjacent? And I know why it's here. We had some confusion some months ago, and I won't go into the details of that. We're all aware of that. Sometimes I think we overreact to things, and the other times I was sitting in this seat, we did sell off once or twice a year little chunks of land. It had to go through the process. And my view is it a little bit tedious and long and cumbersome? Yeah, it is. But it's the public, it's the people's land or property. And, you know, I don't want to sound too truculent about it, but it seems to me that if you're selling a $2 bucket, needs to go out to bid and auction. That's just my viewpoint on that. I think anything that belongs to the people of this community needs to go out to bid. And I don't like making exceptions of that whatsoever, because it may not be a controversy this year or next year. Could be down the line somewhere 5 years from now. So whatever we sell, what's the problem with going out to bid or auction? We've only had that one episode this year. We're 7 months in. And we may never, for the rest of the year, we may never sell another little piece of property off. And I know Council or Mayor Pro Tem Klein has been here longer than I have. And has there ever been, we had that little confusion last February. Has there ever been confusion before? Do you recall?
Not that I can recall.
Okay. So this just happened one time, and we're attempting to change the law. We may not sell off another little tiny piece all this year, so we only did it one time. So I think that we should stay with the ordinance that we have. I think the public needs to trust their government, and I don't think there would be any favoritism shown, but it could give the appearance of favoritism somewhere in the future if somebody's getting a deal on a certain piece of property, even if it's under $5,000 and under an acre of land. I think we just keep what we have. Any other questions? Councilmember Dunn.
Yes. Certainly, I've served a number of years on the Planning and Zoning Commission, and certainly these cases do come up with certain frequency. Certainly my service on the Planning and Zoning Commission, there was often one or two or three a year. And again, it's often an old BSBY in which surveys, historic surveys, are not consistent with, after many years, 100 years, when land is someone attempting to sell a piece of property, all of a sudden they check with the assessor's office, their prospective buyer, and find that the property line is not correct. And often it's approaching into public right-of-way. It's what, a building, a garage, or something has been built into what is now public right-of-way, owned by the city. It was certainly clearly understood for 100 years that this was indeed a piece of private property, and the property line was correct. So certainly I do favor this action.
Any other questions or comments from the council?
Mayor, I move that we approve the notice of intent to adopt Ordinance 01504, amending the City Code Articles 2.6.3 and 2.6.9 to streamline transfers of city real estate, real property, and eliminating the public auction requirement for certain parcels.
I second.
We have a motion and a second. Any other questions or comments from the council? I've said my piece. I don't think we should do this. But we have a motion and a second to approve the notice of intent to adopt Ordinance 0-15-04, amending City Code Articles 2.6.3 and 2.6.9 to streamline transfers of city real property and eliminating the public auction requirement for certain parcels. Ms. Coronado, would you take the roll, please?
Councilmember Connors?
Aye.
Councilmember Hansen?
Aye.
Councilmember Dowdy?
Nay.
Mayor Pro Tem Klein?
Nay.
Councilmember Dunn?
Aye.
Councilmember Sullivan?
Aye.
Mayor Ertley?
Nay. Motion passes 4-3. Next, we will go to the City Manager's report.
Thank you, Mayor. Just real quickly, one item. I just want to let you know that tomorrow, Public Works Department will start paving the cemetery, barring good weather, thank goodness. And so hopefully we'll be able to accomplish that task. I know we got some rain tonight, so hopefully it doesn't deter us tomorrow, but we're anticipating it will probably take about 2 days to get that job complete. But the goal is to go and get it all knocked out in one fell swoop. I think it's a great starting point. Comment and just want to commend Tom Klimek and his staff. We've done a heck of a job, and I just want to thank him. And I'm certainly, I know the cemetery committee would be very excited, and frankly, members of the community would be very excited to see that work get done. So, and that's all I have, sir.
Thank you. We have one council comment, Councilmember Hansen.
Yes, I just wanted to make a comment on the concerned citizens task force for the homeless that was the result of Linda Whalen's petition. And I just want to say that I have been absolutely amazed, surprised, and delighted with the turnout of the subject experts. We've got people from behavioral health, we have people from the county, we have the police chief, we have community members, we have the homeless shelter, and the discussions would really lift your spirits. I think there's going to be a lot of good work that's going to come out of this. It's going to be a long road. It's not going to happen overnight. But I have great hopes for some of the things that we have already accomplished or that we're in the process of accomplishing. And the inputs that we're getting are just so significant, and from almost every corner of not only the community but also the agencies that are involved in this issue. So I just wanted to thank all of those people who have come. If you would like to come to just observe, we had several people today because we had our second meeting today that were just observing, just to see what we were doing and what we were all about. And the feedback that I've been getting is that we're on the right road. We still got, as I said, a long way to go. Our next meeting is going to be on the 4th of August at 10 o'clock here in the chambers, which I need to reserve. So if you have the time, please come out and at least observe or give us your inputs. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
So we have a second? I second that. Okay. We have a motion and a second to adjourn. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. This meeting is adjourned.